This is Vatican Radio. South Korea urged its northern neighbor to stop all action that is driving up tension on the Korean Peninsula. The government also said it will seek all methods possible to resolving tensions with the cooperation of other countries. Earlier on Thursday, North Korea dismissed warnings by U.S. President Donald Trump that it would face fire and fury if it threatened the U.S. and outlined detailed plans for a missile strike near the U.S. As tensions and rhetoric heat up, Lydia Kane spoke to Father Paul Lansu, senior policy advisor with Pax Christi International, about what can be done to resolve the current situation.
Well, I think it is very, very serious. And for me, the rhetoric on all sides have been increased. The rhetoric is very strongly on both sides. So my first point is that the escalation of that type of rhetoric needs to be stopped. Otherwise, the situation is created that the tensions are growing, and that needs to be stopped, I think. The second point I want to mention is that it is really necessary to follow the scenario of diplomacy. And there, I think, and that is really necessary, because the situation is that today we have almost no diplomatic channels. Of course, on the 5th of August, the United Nations Security Council adopted a resolution against North Korea with new sanctions. So that is, of course, very good in the sense that it was a united vote of all the members of the Security Council. That is very, very positively. But on the other side, I think it is really necessary to get North Korea out of that isolation. It is mentioned in the past, especially during the presidency of Bush, that North Korea is a rogue state, and I believe that it is really necessary to come to a situation that North Korea is being respected as an independent state, as an independent nation. You can discuss the whole political system and the ideology, etc. Of course, you need to discuss that. But I think they need to be respected as an independent nation. That means that the escalation and the rhetoric needs to be reduced to a minimum, if possible. And instead, the diplomacy needs to do its job. And there, I think, at least countries like China, especially China, but also maybe Russia, they should play a strong role in creating diplomatic channels, in reducing the tensions, but also in finding a kind of a way to solve and to start a kind of negotiations and talks, as was done in the past. So in the past, we have seen the six-party talks, that started when North Korea left in 2003, left the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, the NPT. And so the six-party talks have been started. That these six countries involved in these talks were, of course, North and South Korea, but also the United States of America, China, Russia, and also Japan. And these talks have been taking place until 2009. And since then, the North Korean regime has been intensifying its capacity in technology, etc. And then, of course, with different provocations in the direction of South Korea, but also in the direction of Japan, and now also in the direction of the USA, especially the group of islands of the United States territory, Guam, for instance. There is a group of islands on the right side of the Philippines under Japan, and these are in the picture of the North Korean regime. I believe that the power of the army in North Korea is very strong, but the leadership is taking a lot of risks. And as I said, the risks need to be reduced to a minimum as possible. And so I think new talks, formal talks, in the context of the six-party talks, if possible, but other ways of doing diplomacy is not excluded, of course. I think that is really, really necessary. So, but the conflict is very serious, especially when weapons of mass destruction are involved. And that means that we should focus on de-escalation of the tensions, on diplomacy, and if possible also on the, that's maybe for the long term, on the abolishing of the of this type of weapons of mass destruction. You know that on the 7th of July this year, 122 countries have agreed to start with a treaty. It's called the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. And on the 20th of September, countries can start to agree with the draft, with the treaty. So once there are 50 countries agreeing to that treaty, it will be implemented. Now, I think that is the road we are following also as Pax Christi International. We are campaigning to the different, well, we are inviting our member organizations worldwide to approach their governments to proceed with the treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons, to agree with that. Also, there are a lot of countries who are still boycotting that treaty, especially the NATO countries, but of course also the 9 nuclear-armed states, including North Korea.
Father Paul, I would just want you to come back to, you were talking about internationally and calls for, obviously, for the prohibition of nuclear weapons. The Holy See has been very vocal on that. Pope Francis has been very vocal on that. How important is that voice?
That voice is extremely important, especially the Holy See. And I'm very glad that that since the last 6-7 years, especially the Holy See has been taking leadership, especially on the humanitarian approach of the nuclear arms, the humanitarian approach which resulted in that treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons. So the Holy See can take leadership on that, as it did in the past on landmines, on cluster munition also. I believe that that leadership, both in diplomatic as well as in moral terms, is extremely important. If other countries can do the same, that is always welcome, like Costa Rica or Norway and other countries who are working also behind the scenes, etc. That is very important. And so I believe that also in this case, if the Holy See can speak out very clearly in favor of negotiations, in favor of diplomacy, in favor of ending the escalation in the case of North Korea and United States, but also in tensions with South Korea, that might be very helpful. And I think that might make a difference in the situation, I think.
With regard to the United Nations, with regard to the world internationally, I mean, has there been enough done previously? Now we find ourselves in this situation, but has there been enough done previously with regard to nuclear disarmament at an international level?
Well, of course, from our side as Pax Christi International, we believe that we have been working on that issue since the beginning of the atomic bomb, especially. And we remember, it's a little bit strange that in these days, this escalation with North Korea is really very actual, and that is in the context of the commemorations of Hiroshima, 6th of August, and then yesterday Nagasaki, the 9th of August. And so, since 7 to 10 years, I think organizations as Pax Christi International, but many more, have been very, very active in approaching governments and especially all the people involved in that discussion, to really get rid of weapons of mass destruction. We believe that more should be done, especially in creating, for instance, nuclear weapon-free zones for the Middle East, but also for the sea close to South and North Korea. I believe that more should be done on that level, and that's why we are very, very alert, and that's why we always motivate our member organizations worldwide to keep focusing on the need to abolish, not only abolish nuclear weapons, but also abolish war as such, as it was able to abolish slavery 2 centuries ago. I think it is necessary, and it should be possible to also abolish and to get rid of because of Mao's destruction. So that is our aim, and I think more should be done at the international level. And we believe that especially with the statement of the Holy See on nuclear deterrence of the 7th of December of 2014, saying that nuclear deterrence is illegal and immoral, we believe that that should be implemented in practical and in political terms. And we believe that nuclear weapons cannot guarantee security, and security should be based more on social economic collaboration.
You mentioned there, you were talking about the anniversaries of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that all of this is kind of coming about around this time. When you look at the destruction back then, and then you fast forward to now today, what have we learned? Have we learned anything about the destruction that happened and what it can do?
The Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, which has been agreed upon on the 7th of July of this year in New York, is in fact the result of the strong testimony of victims of the attacks on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And some of them are still alive and very active. And we, the Habakushas, as they are called, and we are in touch with these people. They are very courageous. And thanks to these testimonies, I believe that we have been able to reach that treaty. Nevertheless, it is not enough. That is, I think, our world should look more at the victims of violent conflicts, especially the victims of the use of weapons of mass destruction, but also the normal armed conflicts. And if you look at it from the victims' point of view, I believe that more could be done, more should be done to protect people, first of all, but also to prevent armed conflicts in the future.